Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. This is Allison Lattermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer at HowStuffWorks.com.
So, Robert.
Yeah.
Have you ever thrown a party?
I have certainly helped throw some parties. Yeah. Used to, when I first moved to Atlanta, I lived in this house with two other people. Uh-huh. And it was...
Was it a party house?
Yeah, it was kind of a party house.
Really? So, yeah. Tell me about it.
Well, it was... It's interesting because it's like in a really nice neighborhood in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
But it was like the one house on the street that... It wasn't really that well kept up and didn't uh-huh. have like a, you know, a nice family living in it, you know.
The neighbors would cross the street when they were walking their dogs.
Yeah. It was like every street has that one house and this was that one house. And it's just because like some dude owned, you know, the dude who owned it was like too lazy to fix it up and sell it. So he's like, I can just rent it out like, you know, by the month to these people. So for years, it was like everybody who lived in it, like knew people who had lived in it before, and it just continually amassed more and more used Tupperware and kitchen items in the pantry.
And none of the Tupperware had tops.
Well, there were tops in there, but you know, God bless anybody who could actually line everything up and, you know, reuse it. But yeah, we'd have parties, like we were saying, it's like parties tend to start off with, you know, first it's the people getting ready for the party, right?
Right.
And then the people who annoyingly show up early to attend the party, but don't want to actually help you set up. So
hey man, can I get a beer?
Yeah. They're like asking for a drink or they're eating snacks while you're still setting up the snacks. And you're like, what are you doing? You know? So then more people show up and then maybe you start cranking the music a little.
Right. The party builds momentum. But it's like, you know, when that first guy or gal comes, you don't want to put everything out right away. You don't want to put your best hors d'oeuvres that you slaved over. You don't want to put maybe the microbrew that you're kind of keeping for a little bit later.
Yeah. Or be like, all right, let's dance. You know, there's three of us here. No.
Yeah. You got to save the good music for a little later when the party achieves that tipping point.
Yeah.
That point at which the person starts doing the worm on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, somebody, you know, retires to a corner maybe to do a little cozying up to one another, a hookup.
Yeah. The guy falls off the roof.
No.
No, that happened at this house, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, some dude like climbed up on the roof and fell off. He was fine because the kind of person who crawls up on the top of a roof and falls off during the course of a party tends to be fine afterwards because he's probably done it before. But yeah, that kind of thing happens.
Right. So today we're talking about that same sort of thing only in bacteria, a bacteria party, if you will.
Bacteria party, which sounds like, some sort of slanderous term you'd throw at your least favorite restaurant.
It's a bacteria party.
Yeah.
Right. So specifically, we're talking about quorum sensing, which is how bacteria communicate. But first, a little background. So bacteria, you guys are going to remember, just a simple single-celled organism, doesn't have a nucleus, lacks organelles. You know, those tiny specialized organs within the cellular membrane, like a mitochondria or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And your bacteria is going to be probably round, spiral, or rod-shaped. Maybe gram-positive, maybe gram-negative, and they're going to fall under the domain bacteria.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an overview of bacteria, just in case you needed to jog your memory a bit.
And it's easy to fall into the trap, though, of thinking of these as simple organisms in the sense that it's kind of like they evolved to a point and just stopped, or they kind of like they never got out of the first grade or second grade. But it's more like they reached the second grade and just became like really awesome at being in second grade, like in ways that we typically don't give them credit for.
Right. So they're pretty complex organisms and clever organisms. Consider this story. Back in the 1960s, a couple of researchers noticed that bacteria known as Vibrio fischeri displayed more luminescence as the bacterial population grew. As you can imagine, it's kind of hard to glow. It takes a lot of energy. So scientists determined that the bacteria were able to preserve their energy until they realized, hey, this is the right moment. Let's make a really good glow. There are enough of us here to really make an impression. So a lot of times you could see that good glow in the liquid organ of a deep sea creature, like, a squid.
Uh-huh.
And it was really fascinating stuff because these bacteria were living symbiotically with the squid or whatever creature they happen to inhabit. And the light, the bioluminescent bacteria would become the light structure for the eye. It was so interesting.
Huh. So it's like if you had like a giant monster that coated itself with like raver kids with like little glow sticks, and then like you get enough of them together, like one raver kid with a little glow stick's not going to really produce a lot, but it gets a lot of them together, except these things end up gathering together and then they produce more glowing, right?
Right, like the raver kids, yeah. No doubt. Yeah, and the giant squid. So the point of this is that the population has to reach a sufficient size to emanate that killer glow.
Okay, like the party. You have to get a certain number of people together before the party really starts kicking, as they say.
Yeah, and that's an example of quorum sensing. It's really just how bacteria communicate. It's usually used to tell other bacteria, hey, there are enough of us here now, let's get on to bacterial business. And there are some other organisms capable of mimicking quorum sensing. Like I saw some research on plants and algae and insects, possibly too, like honeybees.
Oh,
I guess
cool.
Insects might use it to figure out where they're going to plant their next colony.
Interesting.
Anyway, so the name, as you guys can imagine, comes from quorum, or just the majority of people from some particular group that you need to achieve for like a vote or a political action to occur.
Yeah, like you're always hearing it on the news, like, oh, they'll have to get a quorum. They have to form a quorum on a particular topic before, this legislation can pass or this rule can, be passed up in a company, et cetera.
Yeah, example, HowStuffWorks.com couldn't pass that sweet new motion for a 4-day work week because a quorum wasn't achieved.
Oh, I didn't get the email on that one.
I know, neither did I. If only it had gone out.
I don't know. A 4-day work, because then you're just going to have like 10-day work days, right?
10-hour work days?
Oh, yeah, 10-day work days. What am I talking about? 10-hour work days, right?
Gotcha. I guess you could bump it up. What do the French people do?
Oh, well, that's a whole other issue. But.
So let's talk about quorum sensing. Let's talk about how bacteria reach that critical capacity to communicate. So the mechanism here that you're really going to want to concentrate on is autoinducers. Okay. Bacteria produce and they give off these autoinducers, and they function as signaling molecules, kind of like pheromones.
Okay.
So the concentration of autoinducers in any given area is going to correspond with the size of the bacterial population.
Like to bring this to a party, you know how when people come to a party, they never stick with just one cup for their beverage? They end up with like leaving several around, like laying on coffee tables and bookshelves.
I see. So number of cups laying around as an indicator of how good the party is.
Right. Like if you have 200 cups laying around, that means you have 50 people there.
Right. So similarly, of course, a high concentration of auto inducers is going to tell you that a lot of bacteria are present. So once you get enough bacteria coming to the party, they're going to start producing the molecules that are so toxic to their hosts. They may even form a biofilm, which is just a massive group of bacteria that may form a coating, like on a mossy rock. Mm-hmm. You were talking about in a dog bowl.
Yeah, more if you feel like a film on your teeth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, or a medical device. They're pretty common on medical devices, like a catheter, or mm-hmm. a prosthetic device, or a heart implant,
right.
like a valve. Or-
so this is the tipping point, right? This is kind of like when the party gets off the chain, as they say, you know, when the guy falls off the roof.
I love that you're so full of these party expressions.
but yeah, this is when things start happening, and that's the issue here, right? Is what happens when the bacteria actually form a quorum and start doing the sometimes dangerous things that bacteria do.
Right. So this would be when they mobilize. They decide to start infecting the host. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking.
Right. Yeah. That being the prime thing that we're interested in, like the dangerous stuff.
So just to remind you, a quorum-sensing drug would stop the communication, whereas a regular antibiotic kills bacteria or it stops the targeted bacteria from growing. And then, of course, allowing the development of resistant mutant bacteria.
Yeah. It basically, we're talking about cutting off the communication. Like there'll be however many bacteria get in a room, but they don't know all the other guys are really there. There's not enough communication to get the party started. You know, it's kind of like you try to have a party with a bunch of lame people, you know, and they're not digging it. They're standing around.
My husband has a name for this. He calls it a lights on sit down party.
Lights on sit down party.
Which I think is pretty apropos.
Well, if they're board games, you know,
that's true.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes just, you know, Scrabble is a good level of off the chain, you know?
Yeah. Indeed, Robert.
Yeah, especially if you allow, like, creative spelling, you know, then it's, whoa, crazy.
And here's something else. Bacteria don't just communicate with their own kind, right? They don't just communicate with the people at the party. They may have receptors for species-specific auto-inducers, as well as receptors for signals sent out by all other kinds of bacteria.
Hmm.
So there
could be, like, party crashers in the bacteria community.
Indeed, indeed. Right. So this would indicate, you know, in the case of our bioluminescent ones, that not just the bioluminescent ones are communicating, but, you know, they may be communicating with other bacteria that are just floating in the seawater.
Hmm.
Chatting it up. So why does it matter? I mean, why do we care if bacteria are communicating? Well, it really never hurts to have new tricks up our sleeve when we're dealing with bacteria.
Yeah. And again, that's the key thing here is that when bacteria form a quorum, a lot of times they're going to do something deadly or at least unhealthy to the host.
Right. So let's take it in the hospital. There's a pretty common bacteria called Pseudomonas aeruginosa.
Mm-hmm.
You're smiling because you want to make a food joke about how that's...
No, I did that last week.
Okay,
so
right.
We'll pass.
So Pseudomonas aeruginosa is a gram-negative bacterium behind an infection that strikes and often kills people with cystic fibrosis and other immunocompromised people. This is going to be like people, AIDS patients, or maybe mm-hmm. people receiving chemotherapy, or people with burns. And it's really common in hospitals, but it doesn't affect healthy people. So a couple of scientists from the University at Buffalo were able to inhibit the master regulatory gene behind quorum sensing. So that's effectively how we are stopping bacteria from communicating, by the way, is by regulating gene expression
mm-hmm.
to get into the actual mechanics of it. And so these scientists were able to do that. And it's pretty cool when you consider that a lot of strains of P. aeruginosa are resistant to antibiotics. So again, it kind of comes back to having more than one way to skin the cat or stop the bacteria from chatting with one another, in this case, and mobilize.
Yeah, and another thing that I thought was really cool is an idea that's been put forth by the Albert Einstein College of Medicine.
Oh, yes.
And that's that these could be basically, quote, everlasting antibiotics, unquote.
Okay.
And basically the principle here is, you know, we've all heard of, like, antibiotic-resistant drugs and, like, you know, antibiotic-resistant bacteria illnesses, et cetera. You know,
yes.
The idea is that by creating, like, pulling out antibiotics, we're pushing against them. And then they're going to push back. They're going to, you know, they're going to evolve a resistance to something. And suddenly you have to change your, you know, you have to change your offense to meet their defense.
Sure.
But by creating like a quorum,
sensing drug,
anti-quorum sensing drug, you're messing with their communication. You know, you're not really pushing them. You're just sort of breaking them up.
Right. You're not sparking resistance.
Yeah. And so they found that like in like 26 successive generations of different bacterial species,
that 26th generation was still as sensitive as the first one was.
Yeah, they're not like learning to fight back against it, which is awesome because then it could conceivably last forever. It could be like a permanent cure.
I mean, I feel like everlasting is a little optimistic when it comes to an organism as long-lasting and as adaptable as a bacteria have proven to be.
Yeah,
but still, it's an intriguing concept.
It's a little boastful. But then again, if you want, you know, you want to get picked up by the media and you want to, you know,
it
get
is
your
catchy.
Study funded, you just say everlasting treatment for this. And you're like, whoa, I'll fund that.
So are doctors using quorum sensing or rather anti-quorum sensing drugs to fight bacterial infections now? No. That's probably what you guys are wondering.
Yeah, not really, right?
Not so much.
Except possibly in some like traditional medicine practices. There's an interesting article. What publication was that in?
Well, it wasn't in a publication. It was a clinical trial, the clinical trial website. You can check out all the clinical trials they've got going on for different things in the United States. And there is a 2008 study that was investigating azithromycin as a potential drug, and they were using it to battle, again, Pseudomonas aeruginosa, a ventilator-associated pneumonia. And the study did, in fact, make it to phase two, but it was terminated because of financial issues. So we never got a chance to see how this was going to turn out.
Yeah, the article I was thinking of was actually in Gizmodo.
Right.
And it was about John McAfee.
He of the security computer fame.
Yeah. So apparently, he was like, I've learned how to tackle, you know, computer viruses. I'm going to go after the real thing. And he's down in Belize, like, checking in with like sort of traditional, like herbal practices, and looking into the possibility of like quorum sensing, anti-quorum sensing, drug potential in those, you know, those herbal remedies. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting to read that. I thought that the author, Joel Johnson, had a good take on it. It's healthy to bring a little bit of skepticism to this, especially since Belize doesn't necessarily have the vetting system that we do for new drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were looking to enlist the help of quorum sensing for all sorts of stuff, like ear infections and ulcers. Biofilms on your teeth. I think they were looking into a mouthwash, which would be handy. I don't know what the dental hygienist would do. I don't know how they would feel about that. Because what would they do if we didn't have biofilms on our teeth anymore?
Oh, I think we'd still figure out a way to mess up our teeth pretty bad. Yeah. Have confidence in our junk food eating ability.
Okay, I will. So apart from what they're doing in Belize, there are some issues with developing these kind of drugs elsewhere. And some of the issues have concerned the molecules being toxic to humans, according to a related Scientific American article I was reading. In addition, they've been having some troubles developing disruptors that work against many different species of bacteria.
Yeah, like it'll only be good to cut off like one type of bacteria's communication, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Which might be good in the case of a bacteria that's so prevalent, like the aforementioned Pseudomonas aeruginosa.
Yeah. But it prevents you from having like a general sort of anti-quorum cure-all.
Right.
Also, some of these have like there's some issues with the shelf life, like getting it to where you could actually like get it out there in stores and have it like be an over-the-counter thing and not a, you know, harvested on the site type of deal.
And there's also a really interesting study that came out of the University of Edinburgh, and a couple of biologists there were saying, well, hold on a second here. Like we were saying before, bacteria aren't that simple. In fact, they may not even communicate in the same way within a particular population.
Yeah, and another interesting fact comes from some research from the University of Edinburgh, and that's that bacteria, like humans, as with humans, some of them are better communicators than others. So if you end up, if you are able to encourage more of the poor communicating bacteria.
This is actually beneficial.
Yeah, this is beneficial because then the other guys can't get a word in edgewise and really get going with their quorum. It's kind of like if you didn't want your party to get off the hook. So you like you invited mostly agoraphobic, you know, people that are just going to stand there, you know, looking into their drink.
Have a lot of social anxiety.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And another way that you could sort of, you know, use this for to your benefit.
Yeah. So that about wraps it up on talking to bacteria or bacteria talking with each other.
Yeah, I was really surprised by it. Because you just don't think of, or I don't think of bacteria speaking to each other, you know, or in any way communicating. I tend to, without thinking about it, you know, view them as this very simple organism that kind of works like a very simple machine, you know.
Yeah, not the case. They have proved us wrong once again.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to send us any of your thoughts on bacteria or bacteria communicating, or just tell us how much of a good communicator you are, send us an email at sciencestuff@howstuffworks.com.
I have to admit, when you first mentioned quorum sensing drugs to me, I thought it was something like out of Dune or like some sci-fi novel where there's like a crazy sci-fi drug.
Yeah. No, not the case. Hey, you want to do listener mail?
Yeah, we actually got some awesome listener mail in just today. Not only mail, but a package.
Yes, our very first package, yeah. Which was super exciting. From Australia, nonetheless.
I was worried at first because one of the reasons we received some of our fan mail from Australia was because we made some comments about there being a lot of venomous creatures there. And then some people were like, it's not really that bad. It's like, you know, so there's kind of a dialogue back and forth about that.
And then
there
was a comment on a comment. Do you remember that? That was very exciting.
So at first I'm like, oh my goodness, like somebody's like mailed us a snake or a scorpion or something, you know? But as it turned out, not. It's actually two adorable little creatures.
Knitted creatures. Yeah. I got a Rhodesian Ridgeback with a bandana, which is so cute. Yeah. A dog.
Your favorite animal. And I received a Lammergeier, which is, you know, the big majestic looking bird that's in the Life series.
Yeah.
That drops bones from a great height and then goes down and eats the shattered remains.
So. Yeah.
So they're really cute, and they came with a letter.
Which, yeah, let's read the letter.
Yeah. Hi, Allison and Robert. G'day from Australia. For hosting such an awesome podcast that makes my commute so much more bearable, I knitted you some presents.
Yay!
Here's a Rhodesian Ridgeback for Allison and a Lammergeier for Robert. If they behave, perhaps you might allow them to play with Katie's narwhal and Sarah's ocelot that I dispatched last month.
Stuff you missed in history class.
Yeah, those guys. Thank you for a great show and keep up the fantastic work. Best, CC, Melbourne, Australia. P.S. How about a podcast on the Higgs boson? We might find it soon.
Excellent. Thank you very much, CC.
Yeah, these are awesome.
These are really super cute.
Yeah, we took a photograph of them. I'll see if I can't throw that up on the Facebook. And the Lammergeier is going to go up on the shelf next to Gamera.
Hey, so yeah, we've received a lot of really good listener email lately, so we're going to go through some of them today, and we're pretty psyched that you guys are writing in. First up is Abdullah S., and he wrote in with his very first email to an HSW podcast, and we are honored.
Cool.
So here's what he had to say. He wanted to give us a little info on how to pronounce the Burj Khalifa, the tallest tower that we mentioned in our space elevator podcast. Do you remember talking about that?
Yeah, this is the one in...
Space elevators.
Yes,
this was the one in space elevators. Indeed, Robert. So he told us the correct pronunciation. And then he was talking about how the tower was named. And Burj actually means tower. And Khalifa is the name of the current president. And it literally translates to Tower of Khalifa. So thanks, Abdullah.
Cool.
Appreciate the info. We have a ton of emails from lefties, or lefty wannabes, shall I say. A lot of people wrote in to talk about this whole left-handed guitarist thing that we got to in our podcast.
Okay. But wait, lefty wannabes? You mean we received some...
I think there are some lefty wannabes
some
out there. I'm just going to put that out there.
That's
because you're a righty.
Yeah, but I don't want to be a lefty.
Well, you should, because we're awesome. So after our podcast on lefties, a couple of guys wrote in to tell us that lefties are the only ones in their right minds. Yes, indeed we are. And to tell us your take on left-handed guitarists. So here's what listener Jake had to say. Although right-handed, I do know that if you're a lefty guitarist, you have to use your left hand to strum and right hand to hold down the chords. So lefties hold the guitar upside down. Jake also told us that Paul McCartney, the famous Beatles star, is a lefty, and he had trouble learning guitar until he looked at another lefty guitarist and saw the strings strung upside down.
Hmm.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So, even more, this turned out to help Paul McCartney when he met John Lennon because it meant that they could sit across from each other and see a mirror image and learn songs that way.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty interesting. Andrew wrote in something along the same lines. He also brought up Phil Collins. And he was saying that there are no other left-handed instruments that he could think of other than the Southpaw guitars. And I really do think he might have just wanted to bring up Phil Collins.
Wait, I thought Phil Collins played the drums.
Well, so Phil Collins plays the drums, but he was saying that drummers set up their drum kit in a mirror image of the usual way. So a special lefty way, if you will.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. William wrote in to tell us that aside from left-handed guitars, firearms are something that are left-handed designed. And this is pretty critical because when you consider a firearm, if you have a lefty using a firearm designed for a righty, then you can wind up with shells being ejected.
Oh, yeah. Man, I never thought of that. Yeah, you don't want to have shells ejecting in your face every time you fire the gun. That's a design flaw.
Yeah, William tells us you definitely don't want this in a firefight, so I totally trust William on that. Garrett is now frightened of his left-handed girlfriend, should she ever decide to fight him.
Cool, he should be. That. Yeah, she's got the advantage.
And Jim from New Jersey's fledgling fencing career may have been cut short due to some tricky lefties in his college phys ed class.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You know, I took fencing in college.
Did you?
And I'm a lefty.
Yeah? Were you any good?
I don't think I went up against Jim because I went to an all-girls school, but I might have been okay. Yeah. And Val, our friendly neighborhood maker of prosthetic devices, wrote in again to talk about her left-handedness. And she was mentioning the whole care car thing from Scottish history. Apparently, there's a clan called the Care Clan or Car Clan, depending on how you want to spell it, K-E-R-R or C-A-R-R. And they're known for being left-handed, so much so that the Care Castle built its spiral staircases backwards so that they could have that fighting advantage that we were talking about, that Robert and I were mentioning. And Val asked where some of my family was from. And yeah, we do have a little Scottish in them. So I don't know whether it's Care Car, but.
So, wow, some of your ancestors may have built a crazy staircase designed to fight on.
Maybe that explains why my dad always wears a kilt.
Does he? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Dad. And on an unrelated note, Richard wrote in to tell us that he's fit, he's small, and the mosquitoes love him. But he wasn't sure why. I think it may be because you are irresistible, Richard. So. Thanks for that. Do you guys have any? What were you going to say?
I was going to say, at one point, we received a lot of comments about lefties and guitars and all, but nobody was able to really answer the, like, how do lefties use guitar teaching as a seduction tool, you know?
Yeah, we're going to leave that one outstanding for you guys. So send us the answer. We're looking for it. ScienceStuff@HowStuffWorks.com or hook up with us on Facebook.
Yeah, on Facebook, we're Stuff in the Science Lab, and on Twitter, we're Lab Stuff. So check us out.
All right, that's all we got. Thanks for listening, guys.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more HowStuffWorks? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.